from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Ocean Beach has been undergoing erosion while sea level rise is expected to continue to a greater extent due to climate change. The 3.5-mile stretch of Ocean Beach, which separates the city's western edge from the Pacific, is thinned out every couple of years as El Nino pulls sand out to the sea. Though some of the sand returns, bluffs collapsed 2 years ago and huge amounts of sand have disappeared for good. On the land side is a great highway, a $22 million waste treatment water plant, and an underground pipe which holds sewage-tainted stormwater from going into the ocean. It's presently estimated that climate change brings sea level up to 14 inches by the year 2050. And now, San Francisco Planning and Urban Research, SPUR, has put forth a plan. We're going to talk about that and talk about this ongoing concern with climate change changing what's there by the Great Highway. Benjamin Grant joining us in studio, project manager for the Ocean Beach Master Plan for SPUR, the San Francisco Planning and Urban Research Association. And welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Good to have you here. And by the way, I should say before we begin, all coastal communities will have to grapple with this, but Ocean Beach's south end is, you call it an erosion hotspot.
That's absolutely right. The Ocean Beach is one of the places where we're first having to deal in a comprehensive way with issues that coastal communities are going to have to face up and down the coast and, in fact, all around the world as sea level rise sets in.
The notion here is that increased erosion and coastal storm damage means we really need to prepare, but are we all that definitive on the global sea level rise? There's some certainly a lot of research that suggests flooding, but how definitive is that?
Well, there's, of course, a great deal of uncertainty about the extent and the timing of sea level rise, but the scientific consensus is certainly in enough that we need to be thinking very seriously about our future in coastal communities. We are working for the purposes of the Ocean Beach Master Plan process to the state's guidance on sea level rise that simply allows us to all work to a common set of data, although the only thing we know for sure is that we probably won't be exactly right. But we need to be prepared to take steps incrementally as this change comes.
So we're at a crisis point, as you see it.
Well, certainly from if you see what happened in the winter of 2009-2010, which was an El Nino year, we saw a severe erosion episode south of Slope Boulevard along Ocean Beach, with the bluffs receding 40 feet in some places in a single season. So if you carry that forward, it doesn't take long to realize that we need to be thinking very seriously about our city's open coast. And a lot of what we're trying to deal with as well is the fact that we don't have long-term policies in place to address these challenges as they unfold. And so we end up in a kind of reactive emergency mode. So some of the controversy around Ocean Beach has proceeded from the city's emergency armoring of the coast, because there is that very important piece of wastewater infrastructure, the Lake Merced Tunnel, which is under the Great Highway. And so the city ended up placing boulder revetments along the south part of the coast.
Caused a big lawsuit. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And the boulder revetments, which are essentially these big piles of large boulders that are designed to armor the coast, they're a functional band-aid for the time being, but they tend to actually worsen conditions on the beach over the long haul. They reflect wave energy. You tend to lose the beach, and of course they're unsightly and inaccessible.
You get everybody mad. You get the beachgoers mad. You get the environmentalists, the surfers, plus the effect on vegetation and bird habitat.
Exactly. And that's really the impetus for this process, is to get out of that reactive mode and establish a long-term vision. So we're really at SPUR trying to take the long view and think about where we're going to be, where we'd like to be in 50 years and 100 years, and then work backwards to the kinds of decisions we need to take day to day.
So that's not just these hard structures as fronts or replenishing sand. You're talking about protecting the tunnel. You're also talking about changing the Great Highway, which has caused a lot of controversy.
That's right. Well, in thinking sort of long term about what we can do to have the best possible outcome over the next 40 plus years, we're looking at about a 100-year time horizon, and we're making recommendations for through the year 2050, thinking about a whole range of different objectives for the beach. So not just thinking about how to protect the infrastructure, but also thinking about the beach's value as an ecosystem, as a national park, as an accessible coastline, as a place that people love. What is the best outcome that we can get? And so the proposal that you were referring to is to actually close the Great Highway south of Slope Boulevard and reroute that north-south traffic behind the zoo via Slope Boulevard and Skyline. And in so doing, doing pick up a lot of room to work with, and so we can be a bit more flexible and a bit more adaptive about how we manage the erosion. We know it's going to get worse. We know we can only go forward. We can't go back to how it was. And if you look at the condition down there today, you can see that we can definitely do a lot better. And we owe it to the national park. We owe it to the habitat, and we owe it to one another to have the best coast that we can have.
You're getting a lot of concern, though, from people, particularly in that area, about reducing the lanes, aren't you?
Well, I would say for the most part, the recommendations have been very well received. Keep in mind that we are talking about something that would be done incrementally over a 40-year period.
And cost also, roughly $100 million? I saw the estimates for the tunnel and 30 for the Great Highway.
Yeah, there are different components, and there's the component that is the roadway work, and then there's also the components of the more adaptive management and coastal protection. And it gets a little bit fuzzy because we're dealing with things that some of which will happen anyway.
And it's a wall too, like Judy's saying.
Yeah, there are elements of hard structures, elements of what we call managed retreat, which is getting out of the way and to the extent that we can, letting nature do its thing. And then also elements of beach nourishment, which you referred to, the direct placement of sand on the beach. And we have a wonderful opportunity in that area because the Army Corps of Engineers is already dredging a ship channel in our sandbar off the coast in order to allow big ships to get in and out of the Golden Gate. And they have upwards of 300,000 cubic yards of clean sand available every year. And so we're in the process of working with the Army Corps to make beneficial reuse of that sand a possibility for San Francisco. And that would mean pumping the sand directly onto the beach. And that would buy a great deal of time, even in the most the areas with the most pressing erosion. But it's not the only solution. That alone, the erosion is so intense that you could place a tremendous amount of sand and then you have a big storm season, a big El Nino season, and you would lose most of that sand very quickly. In so doing, you would protect the coast and dissipate that wave energy. So it's well worth the effort to do that. And then in the interim, you have a beach. And that's we're faced with the prospect of if we tried to hold the line in a very rigid way as we have in the past, we're likely to not have a beach at the south end of Ocean Beach. And I think that would be a greater loss than the relatively light traffic that is using the road between Sloat and Skyline. And in exchange, we have the opportunity to create a wonderful recreational landscape, to put a coastal trail south of Sloat Boulevard and have really the kind of outdoor access experience that national park deserves.
Ben Grant here with us in the studio again as project manager for the Ocean Beach Master Plan devised by SPUR or set out by SPUR, the San Francisco Planning and Urban Research Association. Parts of Ocean Beach, again, been sliding into the sea, and with climate change, the erosion is expected to get much worse. Let's hear your response to this. In fact, let me open the phone lines and invite you to join us and make a contribution to this conversation. If you have questions or comments, you can join us now, and you're welcome to do that. Our toll-free number is available to you, 866-733-6786. So please don't feel inhibited and feel free to join us now at that number. It's 866-733-6786. You can also email us, and we welcome your emails as well. Forum at kqed.org is a way to email us, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, click on the segment, or you can go to our Facebook page, number of ways to communicate with us. And again, you can join us now by phone at 866-733-6786 if you have some thoughts about this plan or generally about what to do about sea level rise. And as I said, all coastal areas are going to be affected by this, and all coastal areas and coastal communities will have to grapple with this, not only Ocean Beach, as we see sea level rise with climate change. The expectations certainly are there. And just before I go to calls here, Ben Grant, you got a lot of agencies that you have to bring into this and get on board here. I mean, it's been...
That's absolutely right. And that's the reason that SPUR has been in a leadership role sort of taking on this challenge, because there are so many different agencies that are responsible for different aspects of Ocean Beach. The beach itself is a national park, obviously owned by the National Park Service, the federal government. The land immediately inland of that is owned by the city's Rec Park Department. That big complex of wastewater infrastructure, which is not just as the treatment plant, but also a major pump station and these large underground storage and conveyance structures. Those are owned by the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission. The dredging that shapes the beach, not only in terms of placing the sand, but also in terms of how sand moves today, is done by the Army Corps of Engineers. So there's this sort of alphabet soup,
isn't it?
That's exactly right.
That's the term that keeps coming up, an alphabet soup of agencies. And by the way, KQED's Quest series, with the help of the Climate Watch team, have produced a video segment on sea level rise in the San Francisco Bay. You can find a link to it on our website simply by going to kqed.org/forum. And let's go to your calls, and we begin with Sean joining us from up in Santa Rosa. Good morning.
Good morning. You may have just started to address my concern is that if we're well aware of global warming, sea level rise, greater impact on the beach itself, is it the kind of thing that we'd wind up like building New Orleans again, and the ocean's even going to be higher? They'll be further below sea level. So is it a good use of funds to do what is being proposed in the long-term prognosis for success?
Well, I think we have to think very seriously. I think that's a great question. We have to think very seriously about the long haul. In our planning process, we are only making recommendations out to about 2050, which is still quite a long time. There's so much uncertainty in how this is going to develop. We need to come up with a plan for the coming decades with an understanding of what's likely to happen after that. And you know, we are working in a setting with a great deal of uncertainty. We do
hate to say it, but has this come up, the fact that before 2050 you could have a big quake? Another tsunami. Who knows?
Well, tsunami is a whole other package of risks that our plan isn't dealing with so much directly, although it piggybacks on the city's existing plans for evacuation and so forth. As we, of course, saw in Japan, a really enormous tsunami, there's no amount of preparation and no amount of investment in coastal defenses that could serve that, which certainly doesn't mean we shouldn't address it. But
at least we don't have any nuclear plants.
That's right. But we do have this complex of wastewater infrastructure. And one of the challenges here, and there is an argument that's been put forward by many critics that we should simply move that infrastructure today, that should be the focus of what we're doing. The challenge is that infrastructure is doing a really terrific job of protecting coastal water quality and preventing the kinds of combined sewer stormwater overflows that used to be totally routine. And so today we've built this complex of infrastructure. It's actually quite new. It was finished in 1993. And so we have this very recent public investment that has a certain lifespan. So as we weigh the long-term decisions, we also need to think about getting the most out of what we've already built, understanding that we're in a very constrained setting. We don't have a lot of space to work with, and finding the best outcome that we can for the maximum number of uses and objectives that we have there.
Sean, I thank you for the call, and let me go to another caller. And Harper, that's you. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I was hoping to make a comment and ask a question. Comment was around the South Slope Bull Revetment Emergency Band-Aid that's currently in place. And I just wanted to say that as a beach user, it is very dangerous to be in the water and try to get out of the water around those places where the giant boulders are. And for somebody who wants to get down to the ocean, you could easily snap an ankle or just get really hurt trying to climb down those boulders, especially when they're wet. So I really want to support the plan that you all have solicited public comment on. And the question was hoping that you might elaborate a little bit on the future plans for mid-beach, Ocean Beach, which would narrow the traffic lanes. I was pretty excited to hear some details about them. I was hoping you could share those with the public.
Sure. Thanks very much. And I think you hit the nail on the head with some of the downsides of those revetments. They only solve for one problem, and that's wave energy. And even that, there's some secondary negatives. They leave the beach in a really compromised situation. And our whole approach is about trying to find something that enables us to incrementally remove those and have a better condition. As for the middle of Ocean Beach, which is really the area between Sloat and Lincoln, we've put forward an idea to narrow the Great Highway from four lanes to two, and to use those what are now the southbound lanes to provide a series of access points to the beach. So some pockets of angled parking, some restrooms, some bike parking, gateways, that sort of thing. And then in between those zones to actually allow the dunes to migrate inland a little bit further. So you pick up about 60 feet to allow that dune system to migrate actually over what is a large transport structure underneath underneath the road, and in so doing, buy some additional time as the coast wants to recede, and we would like to have a beach for as long as we possibly can, and should be able to for quite a while. So the tricky aspect of that is, of course, the traffic impacts. And we have already received funding to do a second set of studies, really looking at how we can carry forward our recommendations and implement them. And part of that is to do a very, very detailed traffic analysis and to determine if indeed this is feasible. We think it's a very exciting idea. We think it's very interesting to look at our only sort of open coast road and ask ourselves whether it should be an expressway or whether it should be more about San Francisco having a more direct connection to the ocean.
Let me thank Carver for his call. Go to more of your calls. Riprap is not going to do it here, is it?
I think that's right. And the Coastal Commission has said as much. And I think everybody is on board with that. The challenge that – the reason we ended up, I think, with that sort of temporary armoring is that we didn't have a long-term plan in place. And there are so many different agencies that no one entity was responsible for looking at the health of the beach. And then suddenly we landed in an emergency. And then suddenly we landed in another emergency. And at a certain point we have to say, well, is it really an emergency if you know it's coming? And I think the various agencies have really come to understand that and have been very supportive and great partners in this process.
On we go. David, join us. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Why, I'd just like to ask the gentleman from Spur whether anybody has studied the possibility of using wave generators that would certainly produce electricity, although variable, and mitigate the force of the waves at the same time. There have been lots of experiments around the world, but generally it has not been effective because of the huge cost of the installation, which is massive and is, I think, mostly underwater with a little bit above water. I don't know. I just think it might mitigate the wave force and provide a useful service, and therefore the electricity underwrites the cost of some of the installation.
Right. I think that's a very interesting idea. There are a few strikes against it from our standpoint. One is that, as you alluded to, that technology is very much in an experimental stage and sort of not ready for prime time, although I think we'd all like to see it make prime time. There are some pilot studies underway by the PUC and others to study the feasibility of that, and I'm very interested to see what the outcome of that is. I have not heard it proposed as a way of actually dissipating enough wave energy to have an impact. And the second big challenge out there that I wanted to mention is that it is such a high energy environment. The reason it's such a great surfing spot is you have concentrated waves just pounding that shore all the time. It's potentially a great source of electricity. But when you think about trying to dissipate that energy or manage that energy, it's a very challenging environment to work in. So,
but this is a promising technology. There's no
absolutely,
question about
absolutely. And it is being pursued. Even locally, there's a pilot project for Ocean Beach, and we're definitely all ears to see how that works out.
And I thank David for the call, and we'll go to another caller, and that's you. Bill, thanks for waiting. Join us.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Bill McLaughlin. I'm with the San Francisco chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. I just want to say we totally support the Spur plan and their efforts. We just favor a little bit more of a relocation strategy, a little bit more aggressive strategy toward pulling stuff out of the way, particularly with the Lake Merced Tunnel.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Ben.
Bill's been a great participant in Surfrider, and all the advocates at Ocean Beach who've been involved in this, I should say, way longer than I have. The reason that this plan is going forward today is that there was a decade of task forces of people who were local users of the beach and local stewards of the beach sounding the alarm, saying, hey, this is coming down the road. And Surfrider and Save the Waves and Audubon and a bunch of neighborhood groups have been involved from the very beginning in this conversation.
You had to compromise this with those like Bill, who wanted a more aggressive plan? You had to find a kind of median here?
That's exactly right. This process has really been about having that conversation in a very direct way among the different agencies and also between the agencies and the various community advocates, some of which are very enthusiastic about maximum retreat and really getting that infrastructure out of the way as soon as possible. Others would very much like to see the road maintained as it is. And our job as planners is to really try to find the sweet spot that solves for as many of these challenges as possible and really thinks about a sustainable future, but also one that can be implemented.
We're talking Benjamin Grant, project manager for the Ocean Beach Master Plan, San Francisco Planning and Urban Research Association, SPUR. And in the time remaining, if you'd like to join us, you can do so at 866-733-6786 or send an email to forum@kqed.org. And let's get Neil on. Neil, you're on.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, I've just noticed sort of anecdotal observations over the years about conditions along our shorelines. And I remember the this includes the bay. In the winter of the early 80s, couple of years, we had extraordinarily heavy rainfall, and the water surged over the Embarcadero around Mission Street, which I've never seen before or since. On the other hand, in recent years, I've noticed, again, this is anecdotal, that the tides, the water level seems to be lower rather than higher a considerable part of the time along the bay, especially at Aquatic Park. And here's another example of something going on at Aquatic Park. For years, before the National Park Service took it over, the winds every spring would blow the sand from west to east and depleting the beach on the west end. And then they would laboriously cart the sand back in order to restore the beach at the west end. And in recent years, they just gave up the effort, and so we have a smaller beach at Aquatic Park than we used to have. Finally, on Ocean Beach, south of the Cliff House, visible from the Cliff House, as far as Golden Gate Park. For a number of years, there was a big lake kind of in between the beach proper and the seawall, and that lake has more recently also disappeared. So I'm just wondering what that might have to do with all this.
Sure. Well, one of the fascinating aspects of working on a problem like this is that there's a very complex set of dynamic processes that shape the beach. And I'm new to coastal management myself. My background is in city planning and this kind of communication among different stakeholders. And it's been fascinating to try to understand the beach. It's a little bit like understanding the weather, the complexity of the way sand moves.
You've had a whole postgraduate education here.
That's right. One of the fascinating things about Ocean Beach is that the northern end of the beach, the folks that have been around for a while are aware of this, has been getting wider. And there's some debate over the exact reason for that. One of the things that happened is that in the 1970s, the Army Corps stopped dumping its dredge sand out to sea and started dumping it inside the local system with the idea that there is meant to be a kind of homeostasis in the system. And that sand has been on its way back to the Golden Gate, accumulating at the north end of Ocean Beach. But the currents diverge at about Noriega Street. And once you get south of that point, sand is being lost from that system. And you see increasingly the beach narrowing in that area. So there's been some experimentation by the Army Corps in terms of where sand has been placed. But the point that we're all trying to get to that would have the most dramatic impact is the ability to pump that sand directly onto the beach and have a very dramatic, beneficial impact.
We had a caller who had a drop because of a bad cell, but she was asking if there was any discussion about letting everything revert to how it was with the ocean able to communicate. That was her word, with Lake Merced.
Well, it's interesting you should mention that because we did actually look into the prospect of restoring the hydrological connection to Lake Merced, which, by the way, was very intermittent. It was not a sort of direct sort of estuary connection. It was more like an overflow periodically during wet weather. There are a number of reasons why that is extremely challenging right now in terms of thinking about protecting our groundwater from saltwater intrusion, and also letting things sort of revert to how they were. If you think about what San Francisco was like 150 years ago, it was basically sand from the beach all the way to Civic Center in some parts. It was a huge sweeping, what was called the Great Sand Bank, and including Golden Gate Park was virtually all sand dunes. And Frederick Law Olmsted took one look at that and said, forget it, you're not going to build a green British-style park here. And so the city fathers went on to Hammond Hall, who was able to gradually convert it into the kind of green vision that we see today. So, you know, where do you draw the line in terms of historic restoration? We looked at the possibility of thinking about sort of total retreat. You know, what does that mean over 100 years or 150 years to actually imagine the city backing away and private homes moving out of the way and so forth? And it just seems like that's not a conversation that makes sense to have at this point. There's still a ton of uncertainty. We have plenty of challenges in front of us to manage just the few coming decades and think about the infrastructure that we have to contend with now and think about an accessible, ecologically functioning coast. before we get into that sort of hornet's nest. And I think when we've built into our plan the idea of really revisiting these things in a comprehensive way in about 2030, and we're going to know a lot more about how fast sea levels are rising, how intense the storm surges are, and have more of a toolkit about thinking about how a city that is directly on the coast can think about its evolution over the long haul. So we're not talking about any sort of changes in private property today.
Well, Bill wants to know if there's been any discussion about erecting a breakwater off at least parts of Ocean Beach to prevent further erosion.
That was one of the things in our planning process that emerged as a possibility and was batted around quite a bit. And frankly, the response was pretty negative, partially because one of the things about Ocean Beach that people love is its wild character and that sense of a kind of rugged edge of the world feeling. And of course, in truth, Ocean Beach is very much a managed landscape. But when we, in terms of the feedback that we received from people that really care about the place, that was not a big hit. Let's put it that way.
And here's Kurt who writes, why not explain the geology? The San Andreas Fault makes landfall in Daly City. The part south is moving southeast and the part north is moving northwest. So the beach that slowed is moving into the ocean. So naturally, the erosion by wave action is going to wear it back. In addition, the Pacific Plate is submerging underneath the North American plate, so the West Coast is rising. Why fight it? Sea level rising effect on the West Coast will be minimal.
I wouldn't say that sea level rise will have a minimal effect on the West Coast. And in fact, if you look south of Slough Boulevard today, you see some of the most dramatic impacts, a sort of snapshot of the future, if you will, that we're going to have to contend with. Now, the argument about getting out of the way and letting nature take its course is a very valid one, and I think we have to think about that. But we have to think about it in the context of the reality we're in today, having just spent hundreds of millions of dollars of our collective public monies to create this infrastructure to protect our coastal water quality. I don't think we can simply throw up our hands at this point. What we need to do is be much more thoughtful and strategic about serving many different objectives at once and creating the best place we can in the coming decades.
Can we get you on quick, Mike? Seconds left.
Yes. Am I on?
Yeah.
Hey, I've got an idea. I've never heard anyone mention it, but there's several large depressions around the world that if canals were created to these depressions from the ocean, they could possibly handle the rise in seawater. There's very large depressions like Death Valley, the Dead Sea.
Yeah, like Mars, too. I mean, what about canals?
We're out of my depth on that one. I'm trying to think about adaptation, but I'm all ears.
We've had some really good suggestions here. Bring them to the spur board. By the way, people can see this report online?
Yeah, it's there in draft form today, and the final revision will be up in May.
And a model, you hope, for other coastal communities.
We hope so, because this is sort of the tip of the spear.
Thank you so much for being with us. That's Ben Grant, Project Manager for Ocean Beach Master Plan. And we're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. Thanks to our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and to our producers, Judy Campbell and Tina Larberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, and Forum's executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, who believe all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.